This one's about 5 years old. I've got an older one that I got off an old barber. His name was Mr. Unwood in Brisbane. This is his original clippers. These have got to be about 40 years old. They still work like a charm. They don't break down. Well, I'd done a ladies' hairdressing apprenticeship first, and then with all the chemicals and all that, which you don't like, so I transferred over and started doing a men's barbering trade as well, which is another apprenticeship as well. So I've done two apprenticeships. And started off with Louis' Barbershop in Brisbane, and then also worked part-time for Cole Nyler up in the city in Brisbane, and then got my qualifications, and then I was told I was the first fully qualified female barber in Queensland, so which the first one to get a certificate, because in the old days you didn't get a certificate, because it used to be handed down from father to son in the old days. So when a female barber comes along, the old guys go, "Oh, female barber," you know, so some of them are a bit wary, but I'm fully qualified.
Are there many female barbers these days?
There's a few sort of coming through the ranks that are doing an extra course in, the apprenticeship, but they're not training them like they used to, so it's just mainly ladies' hairdressing. So, and there's two different techniques between ladies' hairdressing and barbering. So, and also you do shaves and stuff like that, but which you don't get that much demand anymore for it, but you still got to do your shave in your apprenticeship.
So when you say shave, do you mean sort of cutthroat razor type face shave?
Yeah. But in some states now, they don't allow you to do face shaves because when the HIV all came out and all like that. But if you're qualified, if you know what you're doing, you don't cut no one, only if you felt like it.
So what kind of customers do you mostly get through your shop here?
Majority male. Do a lot of army, government workers, city people.
And what's your most popular haircut?
Short back and sides. And if the Marines come in, they call them high and tight, so that's when it's real short. A lot of the old, you know, square cut, you know, college cut look, flat tops.
You still do flat tops?
Still do flat tops.
How many years has this shop been open?
The actual shop's been here since 69. I've took over the shop, it'll be 10 years in September this year. So I've had the shop for 10 years in September.
It's a fairly unusual looking shop in that you've got heaps of defence memorabilia in here. Whose idea was that?
Well, that part of that one is my husband's. His grandfather was a light horse, and his great uncle Harry's buried at Gallipoli. And Townsville being a garrison city and a military town, and that's why we support the past and the present. So majority of this, about 30% of this now has been donated, and what we've collected over the years. And there's always a bit of rivalry going on between the defence guys. You know, you've got Army, Air Force and Navy. They go, "Oh, too much Navy, bring something in." So this is what they do. You know, that's why all the patches and pictures and stuff. So,
how many items do you think you've got in here?
Too many to count. I've had a few people ask me, "Have you catalogued any of this?" And I said, nope. Yeah, so no.
Do you know if any of it's valuable?
Oh, yes. I have been told that there is some valuable items. Even the Canberra War Museum and military museums haven't got some of the stuff we've got. So yes, but what do you put value on? It's just the history. You can't put a price on history.
How about for yourself? Which piece do you like the most?
Oh, gee, that's a bit of a hard one. It's got to be the light horse bit, because that goes back to 1917. So, and that's personal, because my husband's grandfather was light horse. So, trench art, especially in the cabinet over there, that Turkish knife. It's they've made the handle out of perspex, out of a plane, and cut down a Turk sword. So, like when they got time in the trenches, that's what they used to do, make things to occupy their minds. And that's where the word trench art comes from. Like they've made sweetheart badges, planes out of bullets and stuff. So while they're in the trenches, they occupy them. So.
It's quite an intimate thing to have your hair done. And I know a lot of people quite like that time to actually talk to their hairdresser. What do people talk to you about?
At the moment, it's all about insurance. But no, just general conversations, life in general. Some of the boys talk about what they've been doing in the defence, exercises. A lot of people have been, you know, gone through some bad times, losing partners or divorces. But no, just talking life in general.
You've got 8 chairs lined up along the side here for waiting customers. How busy does it get in here?
Well, it can get busy. One time a few years back, we had a military exercise with the Americans, and I had 60 Marines lined up with their backpacks out in the corridor, sitting in here, because of course I've got the girly magazines for the boys. And but they were also doing a runner to the brewery. So half a dozen will go to the brewery, and you do them, and then they go, they rotate. So one of the busiest days I've ever had was when I'd done 60 Marines. And it was all good fun, but by the end of the day, I got sick of being called ma'am. I said, stop calling me ma'am. My name's Elaine. And they go, rightio, ma'am. But it's all good fun.
What do you like about this job?
Meeting the people. Yeah, conversations. You never know who's going to walk through that door. You know, so I've had Kim Beasley, I've had the Brigadiers. One guy, I'd done a haircut on him, and I jokingly said, oh, well, that'll keep the boss off your back. And he goes, oh, I am the boss. And he was the bloody head of the First Fleet of the Americans that came in about 5-6 years ago. Yeah, he was the commander of the fleet. And when he said, I am the boss, and the guys behind him were his lieutenants and that, and they were laughing.